While every head is bowed, Father, we're so thankful for Jesus. Oh, we come in that wonderful name, that most beautiful name, that name that, oh, it reigns peace in us. Lord, thank you for him. Thank you again for the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're happy in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your countenance is upon us, Lord God. And Lord, no matter what we're going through, Lord, there is still joy. Hallelujah. Even joy in the suffering. There is even joy in the night, Lord God. I know that joy cometh in the morning. But Lord God, I'm so thankful that your joy never leaves me. Now, Lord, I ask you, just enlighten our eyes and quicken our hearts to it this morning. God, you've given us an ear to hear your spirit, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for that ministering one, Lord God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that evidence that you have given us. And Lord, we're so rich, we're so graced. And God, I think sometimes we do get complacent. We do get a little bit ignorant to it and maybe even slothful to it. But today, God, wake every life up in here this morning. Lord Jesus, you love us. Oh, you love us, Lord God. Oh, we've been sitting still too long. We've been sitting on our hands way too long, seeing this thing afar off way too long. God, you've drawn us into this. And Lord, encourage us, Lord, to run after that double portion and pick up the mantle, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your words. And let us hear the word of the Lord this morning. Oh, Lord, you are. You're just so wonderful, so marvelous, Lord Jesus. Thank you again that you love us so, because it's all because of you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. We're going to 1 Kings this morning, in the 22nd chapter. And I so love this portion. And I'm confident you do, and if you don't know it, you will. Praise God. 1 Kings 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. Kind of sounds like today. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, so important here, at the word of the Lord today. Isn't that wonderful? See, Jehoshaphat, he said, that's fine, but we're going to inquire in one place, and that is the word of the Lord, and notice, today. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, this is Ahab, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? Isn't that wonderful, the boldness of this sweet brother? There's a lot of ones saying, Oh, let's go up. You know how euphoric you get when you get a big crowd. Oh, yeah, this is ours. Let's go get them. Huh? But there was one there that said, You know, I don't care about all this noise. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. We need to inquire of the word of God. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. Now that's a king, isn't it? It's like a little child. I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me. Everything he tells me is just bad. He said, and see, what did he want him to prophesy? Concerning who? Concerning me. Huh? See, when you're thinking about me and my and all that, a lot of times this word not going to sound real good. So much in here, huh? Come on. I know that's not any of us. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on the throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. No wonder it was a void place, huh? And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until they have consumed them. Isn't that amazing? You know how people can make you all marvelous things that you feel godly. Or I'll make you something. You'll go bury this in your yard and you'll sell your house. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. You think about how man is, see? But I tell you, if people are going to be that foolish, they can sell a lot of stuff, can't they? That cross, they said, the pieces that they've sold off the cross that Jesus carried, right now is getting about the size of Pennsylvania. Do you know that? The water they've sold from Galilee or, no, yeah, I think that's it. Nor was it Jordan, I can't remember. I think it's as much as the Atlantic now. Come on. Let's not get caught up in that, huh? And all the prophets prophesy so saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophet declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Now there was a real strong one, huh? You have ones in your life like that too? Really encouraging? Let's quit standing. Let's just forget this. Just go along with the crowd, huh? And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, what the Lord saith unto me will I speak. Praise God. And so he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now what comes next, you must know that sweet Micaiah must have had a real funny expression on his face. I can see him saying that to the king. You know, because he's been with this guy many times. And you know that him rejecting the word of God, finally, you know, Micaiah said, yeah, why don't you just go on up there? I think that sounds real good. Oh, yeah. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is the true, it is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy any good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on the right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? See, that he'd go up there and die. And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, oh, I'll persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith what? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah the son of Chenaanah went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Boy, a lot of prophecy was going forth there. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back into Ammon and the governor of the city and to Joash, the king's son, and say thus to the king, put this fellow in the prison. Feed him the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken to me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. Now, if you know the end of that story, that's the end of Ahab. He tried to hide. He tried to do whatever he could. And you ain't going to hide from God. And a man drew a bow, an arrow at a venture, and boo, right between the armor plates. And the dogs licked up the blood in his chariot. Praise be to God. Now, talk about winding. I'm going to tell you how the Lord brought me there. He brought me there this past week with a memorial service that God had me at on Monday. It was a precious time. The Lord encouraged my heart. This was for Sister Norma and her family. And a precious family. So many knew Christ as Savior. After the service was done, I walked just across that front pew where the family was, and there are a couple pews back, just shaking hands, hugging different ones, just encouraging. And as I said, most of that family, if not all of them, know the Lord. And it was wonderful to hear of the testimony of Jesus. I got down to the very end of the row, and not thinking of a thing except just thanking Jesus for the time. And there was a man, one of the patriarchs of the family in his 80s, a farmer, and as I shook his hand, the Lord came right over me and I said, do you know Christ Jesus as your Savior? The man bowed his head and he said, well, I think so. The Lord encouraged my heart and I said, no, you need to know so. I said, do you want to accept him as your Savior? He said, I don't know how. I said, well, he's got all the words and the faith for you. Do you want to accept him? He said, yes, I do. His wife started to break down crying, standing next to him. And in about 30 seconds, praise be to God, another son to glory. Hallelujah. Got about two steps back, and a young lady met me in the aisle, grabbed me. She said, do I think he just did what I think he just did? And the Lord had me to perceive that that had to be his daughter. And I said, yes, honey, your daddy just gave his heart to Jesus. I thank the Lord. I praise him for that opportunity. But brothers and sisters, what the Lord struck my heart with is oftentimes it is so hard to speak truth, to speak the things of the Word of God about Jesus to the ones that are the closest in our life. So many of those were saved and knew Christ as Savior, but it was just uncomfortable, I'm confident, to approach one so highly esteemed, maybe in the family, about their salvation. I was thinking how many times I've been called to a deathbed to lead a life to Jesus. I thank God for each and every one of those times. Yet here, that whole family pretty much is saved. And yet, they've stood by and avoided maybe and ignored the discussion of eternal salvation with a loved one. Brothers and sisters, why do we wait? Why do we wait to tell somebody the truth before it's too late? Sometimes I believe we're more filled with anxiety and concerned about insulting or stepping on someone's toes instead of being filled with the love of God and being readied and encouraged to tell them how much Jesus loves them. God help us to be people that are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. God help us not to be as these prophets, so-called, that were just spewing flattering words, basic patting people on the head, Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Flattering words are not just empty, but they're deadly. Any time that we have opportunity to profess the gospel of Christ, brothers and sisters, when we let that pass us by, it can be a deadly time. Oftentimes it takes strong words of love to wake people up. Oftentimes it takes shaking words to break up grand disillusioned lives. Oftentimes it takes boldness and an uncomfortable time to call someone to quit being a muckraker, quit being double-minded, quit being stiff-necked, quit being set in your own ways, and realize, brothers and sisters, that a full overcomer in Christ breaks daily. Daily. Not just one time, but we break daily, moment by moment, in all things. Full overcomers overcome always. Brothers and sisters, we're about at the end of this. We're about ready to see His appearing. And I love you. I do. My heart aches. But we, by God's grace, we must break up that fallow ground. By God's grace, to be willing and tender. These are the final strides. The final strides. And we have been graced with so much truth. Matter of fact, the whole counsel of God. And here we are. But yet, maybe we haven't fully broken. See, He said, a bruised reed, he won't break. A smoking flax, he won't quench. But brothers and sisters, we got to get to that point to realize how basically broken we are. He loves the broken heart. He loves the contrite spirit. That's whom receives the grace of God. That grace to go on, that grace to be restored, that grace for not just renewed, but increased joy, increased love, increased abounding. The increasing of that new man. The increasing of that wonderment of stepping back and just beholding and understanding, Lord, that's You that's doing that in me. That ain't me. The wonder of Christ working in us. The miracle of seeing Jesus Christ transform your life. Not just from the man, again, in a way you hoped you'd be. The man, oh my goodness, the woman that you never even knew you could be in Christ. You know, often I see, I shouldn't say often, but sometimes, I see some young couples sometimes come into my office, they want to be married. One knows the depths of the truth, and the other one not only doesn't know the depths of the truth, they don't know that the one that they're getting ready to marry knows the depths of the truth. How can we go so far along in our relationships and with people that we love and not really allow the Lord to live in our lives? Brothers and sisters, God help us to wake up. When we don't live the fullness of Christ in us with every life, we're playing with fire. We really are. God help us to want the Lord to speak. As this brother said in here, what the Lord saith unto me, I will speak. God help us not to hide our light under a bushel. When we hide the light, see, not only do we suffer, but others suffer. It's the truth. The Word of God tells us that better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. Oh, yeah. Now, I want you to understand, we always need to have our speech and the words that He gives us seasoned with salt, it says. We always want to have honey. This isn't just be critical time. That's not encouraging in the things of God. We're talking about His truth in love today. But I'm going to tell you something. Those words seasoned with salt and honey, the only thing that'll ever be is the truth. The only thing that that'll ever be is the Word of God. See, flattering words are not seasoned with salt and honey. Flattering words are poison. Flattering words are deadly. Flattering words put people in a slumber. Flattering words don't encourage people to fight the good fight of faith. Flattering words pacify people to continue to remain a child and a baby. The Lord says, I chasten my sons. He brings it, doesn't he? Amen? And when we endure the chastening, he continues to deal with us on that level of mature sons of God. You can ask my sons, oftentimes, Dad says a lot of things that they don't want to hear. But I love them. And I love them beyond what I could ever express. And I do not want to provoke my children to wrath, but I will not fear the word of the Lord. People need to hear the word of God. People need to adhere to the word of God. And again, as this brother said, I will speak the things, I will speak the things that the Lord saith unto me. I was remembering back as God encouraged my heart in this sermon. Brother Hill, I walked in his home at a time I didn't know he had somebody there with him, but he brought me in. I couldn't imagine why. It took me a long time to understand why he brought me into that house, but it wasn't he that did, it was the Lord. And I didn't realize that at his chair where he was sitting, there was a saint that was kneeled down beside him, just weeping and sobbing. And that saint kept saying, oh, I'm so thankful for the grace of God, and I'm so thankful for the grace of God. And all I heard him say to that saint was, you're not thankful for the grace of God. You're a disgrace as a Christian. Now, I was horrified. I was. I told you this before. They got a commercial. You want to get away? I wanted to get away. But I'm going to tell you something. If he would have said anything else to that saint at that time, that saint wouldn't be, as they are today, running for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, yeah. I remember precious Sister Garcia, you might remember this testimony she gave. She was hurt. And I don't even like to say left this meeting. But she departed from hearing the whole counsel of God. I thank God that the Lord has in this meeting hearing the whole counsel of God. It's Him. It's not because of a building. It's not because of the name Living Waters Tabernacle. It's not because of any vessel that's here. It's because of the grace of God that is with us that we preach this message. And I remember she left and was discouraged, hurtful things. And it never satisfied her in leaving. But when she came back years later and she testified this testimony, she said, you know, it was an insult to me that when I left, I'd been here for so many years, that Brother Hill didn't chase me down. That Brother Hill did not beg me to come back. But once I did, he expressed to me, he said, honey, I love you, and there's nothing more I wanted you than to come back into the truth. But I knew if I went after you to pursue you, and you came back for that, you would come back for the wrong reason. I knew that you had to come back for one reason, and that was for the love of the truth. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, let the Lord tell it like it is. Amen? See, I can't tell it like it is. Oh, I could think I could, but I can't. But the word of the Lord tells it like it is. Just like Joseph, think about how he told it like it was to his brother. all those brothers. You know, he loved them. He wept over them. He missed them the whole time. He knew what they did. But you know what? The Lord knew that they needed to awaken. The Lord knew that they needed to face truth. And the Lord encouraged Joseph to tell them, "You meant it for my evil, but God meant it for good." Now, I don't believe Joseph wanted to tell him that. I do not believe he did. I believe Joseph was so burdened and so loving and so thankful and all of these things that that wasn't easy for Joseph to say. But God had something to say. God had his word that needed to come forth. God used brother Joseph to chasten what needed to be faced. I think about Nathan, that prophet, as he came to David. He said, "David, wake up. You're the man. Come out of that wicked slumber. Overcome. Repent. Go on." How many times did Paul was used in that manner? To the Galatians. Ones he had preached to. Ones he had, again, given everything, not withholding a thing from them. He came back to him. He said, "Who hath bewitched you?" He didn't worry about if they were going to come back to church, did he? He was not worried about how many would show up next Sunday. He said, "You better wake up. You're feeding on poison, and it's going to choke you. It's stunting you. You're going to miss God's very best." How about when he said to Peter, "Oh, there was a man of God. He was a disciple of the Lord." No, when Peter started preaching legality to those ones, he stopped him. And he said, "Don't you be preaching that stuff around here no more." How about Demas, one that had preached the word of God with him and learned the deep things of God with him? And yet Demas, he saw something in the sky that said, "Oh, I can have a big church. I can have my own big thing. I can have big popularity." And Paul marked him out and said, he lost himself with the things of the world. And even Alexander the coppersmith, who's done me much evil. Can you imagine when Paul started his ministry, that was a brother in the Lord that helped him in the things of God. And yet the Lord moved him to point it out. "You've done me much evil." Those are strong words, aren't they? And at least some lives in here, praise God, it kind of wakes us up, doesn't it? See, brothers and sisters, if we just pat one another on the heads and just ignore things and allow ones to sleep, God help us. We heard it many times. If I was walking down the street and I saw your house on fire and I just kept walking on by and said, "Well, I really don't want to bother them." You'd say, "What are you doing? That's wrong." How much more so when we're talking about the exceeding riches of his grace? How much more so when we're talking about the things which we have heard, the things which we have learned, the things which we know? Brothers and sisters, we can't wait any longer. It's time to awaken. It is. It's time, by the grace of God, that we truly live in the Spirit, quickened in the Spirit, not quickened in being judgmental, not quickened in trying to pick at how you're living your life. It's waking up to truth. It's waking up to love. It's waking up to, again, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And brothers and sisters, the Lord is doing that in each one of our lives right now. He just wants us to waken to it. He does it through your uprisings. I'm talking about the successes you've had in running on with God. But he also is doing it right now in those giant failures that you might be just in right now, in the very heart of it. The thing that you wish you didn't do, the way that you wish you didn't go. God right now is using even that, can you imagine? To take you into the heights of his glory. He does it all the time. It's his word that does it. It's not my actions. It's not the events of my life. It's the word that's going to do it. And he uses all of these things. But may our lives, brothers and sisters, really live but one way. As Brother Paul said, I have not withheld a thing. What do you think? Each one of us can run a little bit harder. Know that this morning. I appreciate all of you. Each and every one of us, I commend you, brethren. I'm so thankful for you. But by the grace of God, we can press with a little bit more fervency. I believe that we can quit sitting back just a little bit more and leaning a little bit more on him and reaching forth for the goal, for the prize, for the mark, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You think so? I didn't know how he was going to give this today, but I'm so thankful how he gave it. He loves you. Let's not delay any longer. Today. Let's pray.
My beloved, my sweet love, the time is now. Redeem the time. My coming draweth nigh. I am not playing. I am serious about you. Come unto me. Draw nigh. Worship me. Lay it all on the altar. Amen. And fly. Be prepared to take flight, for I'm coming for you soon.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my child, despise not the chastening of the Lord, for afterward it will give you the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable and gentle, easily to be entreated, full of mercy. Oh, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Is this fruit in you?
Oh, praise God. Lord, we thank you again for your tenderness to us. But I'll tell you, it's in your strong hand that you show the greatest tenderness. Lord, thank you for the stirring this morning. And Lord, thank you for, again, that word that's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, it divides so beautifully in our hearts, and it does. That's what breaks up the fallow ground, is just hearing your word and receiving your word. Lord, thank you again for your sons. Thank you that we're now your sons. Thank you how you deal with us, Lord God. And thank you this morning, Lord, as our heads are bowed. God, each and every life right now, Lord, we thank you. really, that we'd be tender to you to say, Jesus, thank you for letting me hear your word. Thank you for letting me hear how much you love me. Thank you for letting me hear you want me to wake up to you, God, and to quit wasting my life and quit just being stiff-necked or set in bitterness or set in some type of a principle that I've set in my head that I'm just fine from here on out. God, we need you. There's an ever-changing that needs to take place in our lives. Even though you never change, we need to change. From glory to glory, to glory to glory, to glory to glory. Oh God, help us realize that. Lord, get us out of the muck. Lord, help us to arise. God, help us not to be one with a crown that's sitting in the mire. Lord, thank you, Lord. Wash me, wash me, wash me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm seated in that heavens, Lord God. And you're readying me for the throne with you. Now, Lord, in that, Jesus, how could I not? By God's grace, praise you, bless you with all that is within me. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.